Hello and welcome to Untold, the podcast where we go behind the scenes and uncover the untold stories of food and drink businesses. I'm Harry, founder of The Savourist.
I'm Mariana, founder of Hullabaloo. We want to uncover some of the stories from founders and business leaders that wouldn't normally be told. Everyone talks about the positives, the new launches, the NPD, how great their businesses are.
We want to hear about the not so great things, the nitty gritty and the emotional toll this can have on mental health. Over the next few months, we're going to be talking to founders and business owners about their untold stories.
Everyone goes through these challenging moments. It's a fact of life. It's time to talk about them and encourage others to do the same.
Today, we have a fantastic guest, someone that we're both incredibly excited to have on, Anthony Fletcher.
Anthony's an experienced leader with an impressive career at Graze, the UK's number one healthy snack brand. Within the past 10 years, Anthony's been responsible for taking the business to the US, achieving a $32 million run rate in the first year, launching the brand into retail, securing distribution in over 40,000 stores, as well as leading the sale of the business to the first private equity group, Carlyle, in 2012, and then to Unilever in 2019. Welcome, Anthony, and thank you for coming on Untold.
Harry, hey, Mariana.
Hey.
Hey.
Really excited about this whole project.
To kick off, please could you introduce yourself and your career briefly?
Well, I think you've done a very good job there. I mean, I was very lucky because I joined Innocent Drinks, you know, a long time ago when it was still very small. So I feel I had this wonderful learning experience in the startup, in the rapid scale up, but also, you know, some of the tough times at Innocent. And that stood me in very good stead when I went to Graze, you know, joined some really wonderful founders, mostly from the world of technology, and ended up becoming, you know, a CEO and having to lead a business through these different transitions and trials. And that brings me, you know, to today. I've just finished up at Graze and, you know, enjoying working on a new venture.
Fantastic. I absolutely love Graze. I'm a big fan. As you know, here at Untold, we want to go beyond the glorified stories, and everyone gravitates towards talking about how great the business is that they're in, founded or running. And what we want to uncover is a little bit more about the emotional side, where things have gone wrong, to encourage people to talk more about it. So I'd love to hear from you about the worst moments in your career so far. It'd be great to hear sort of a specific moment and more importantly, kind of how you dealt with that emotionally to give our listeners some guidance on
yeah,
on
well, I don't think that the toughest thing was a moment. I think the toughest thing is where the business gets into, you know, difficulty and you have months, if not years, of demanding stress and pressure. And, you know, both Innocent and Graze experienced this to different extents. You know, you have that early phase where you're working hard and you're trying to figure things out and there's a lot of passion, and then you kind of catch that elevator and you start to grow. But what I found about both Graze and Innocent is it can be quite a shock when you come off that elevator, especially if you've got something fundamentally wrong and have to adjust in a much larger business. And, you know, I won't speak about Innocent, but, you know, happy to talk about Graze. And, you know, the business went very wrong. It went from this, you know, extraordinary success, top line, you know, and bottom line. You know, we thought we'd conquered the US, you know, we were going to buck the trend for UK manufacturers, to a, you know, business that was quite troubled and had to change a lot to find its way forward. And I just think that's what you want me to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, the what essentially happened is, you know, Graze had reached a significant size, over $100 million across the UK and the US. It had built this factory off the negative working capital. And, you know, it was very profitable, sort of 20 to 30% EBITDA. And, you know, a business driven by data, a business driven by innovation. And as you said, we were all very, you know, excited, and we felt we'd cracked this new model. And then in the space of a year, it all just came apart on us. So the first thing which happened is the Royal Mail privatized. And, you know, I can't remember the exact number, but I think they put up their prices by about 100%.
Wow.
And, you know, fulfillment, if anyone out there runs an e-commerce company, you know, is a massive component of your prices. And Graze wasn't using couriers, it was using the postal service, and, you know, stuff was going through letterboxes. And it was a very low value item. you know, is part of its success. And, you know, that made a huge difference, you know, not just to the immediate profitability of the business, but, you know, the profitability of the business for every customer we brought in was, you know, dramatically reduced.
Yeah.
And furthermore, the business had gone through a leveraged buyout. So, you know, we had all this debt in the business, which needed to be managed as well. So that was kind of the first thing which sort of went wrong. And then to compound matters, pretty much the same thing happened in the US. The United States Postal Service came to us and we went, we're sorry, this business unit needs to make money. We're going to put up your prices by 25% a year for the next 3 years. And it caused exactly the same problem. The fundamental business model was to a large extent undermined by these dramatic shifts in profit.
Wow, that's quite intense. So how big was the business at the time when that happened?
Yeah, so, you know, 600 employees, multiple factories, multiple fulfillment centers. It was a big old business. And, you know, the profitability fell by half in a year. But I think the bigger problem was everything we'd put all those years into perfecting, this model, you know, we'd built, you know, there were some major question marks on whether it would ever be the same size or have the same competitiveness again in the future.
Wow. That's absolutely fascinating. And I guess it was one of those moments where I assume it kind of almost happened overnight, where there was kind of nothing you could do about it, and prices go up and that was it. You just had to adapt. So I think I'd love to hear more around the kind of emotional sides and how you dealt with something like that going on, not necessarily from a logistical perspective in terms of sorting out pricing, but more for you and your sort of mental space, how you went through that process and were able to kind of pull out of it and make sure the business got back to where it is today.
Yeah, and I think, as I hinted at before, the worst thing wasn't the sort of the initial crisis. You know, your adrenaline's pumping and you're solving problems and, you know, people are rising to the challenge and, you know, starting to find workarounds. I think the problem was the genuine slog of reinventing Grays. And you have all of those emotions which you have as a startup business, which is, you know, uncertainty on how you can radically reinvent, you know, a model for the future. And it doesn't just affect you. The problem is it affects the whole business. And, you know, the sort of questions you ask is how honest you should be with the business versus how much you should try and motivate them. You know, you want them to be aware of the context, but at the same time, you know, some people would react so poorly to it. You didn't want them to kind of lose heart. So you never want to show them maybe the full kind of unvarnished challenge. And then you have many other effects. You know, inevitably, if your profitability is moving dramatically, you have to look at things like, you know, what you spend your money on. And part of that is the worst one of all. And I've seen this, you know, a number of times now, is when you start having to cut back on the team. So you have the redundancies and the restructurings, or, you know, all the other euphemisms which are used for it, which really hits morale, especially in a business that maybe until relatively recently was very used to the growth and winning and being part of something which was being publicly lauded. So that kind of dislocation of suddenly going from one to the other,
yeah,
you know, affects the whole mood enough. You have to dislocate yourself from the stress of the organization, not let it affect you in the same way. And this is problematic because I like to emotionally engage with work. I find it exciting. I like you know, work closely with people, you know, in that manner. But honestly, I think you have to trade the two off. Maybe a little less emotional engagement, but at the same time, you protect yourself a little bit from the slings and arrows.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really fascinating point. Jason, our previous guest, had exactly the same to say. And I think when you're in the position that you were in, or as a founder of a business, it's incredibly difficult to put up that sort of wall between the two and know when's at home and when's at work, and that kind of emotional barrier, being able to sort of separate yourself a little bit from that. Any sort of tactics or techniques that you would use to do that? Was there any sort of meditation or exercise or anything that allowed you to kind of go, okay, actually things aren't going too well, but I'm going to, in order to recharge my batteries and look after myself, I have to do this in order to move forward?
Yeah, I think I'll throw a couple out there. I gave up alcohol, which I've never gone back to, which has surprised me, but I was amazed at the positive effect it had on my energy levels, and was easier to do than I expected. You know, I kind of did something which I thought was a little selfish, because I had a weekly personal trainer who would literally come to my front door, so I had no excuse.
Brilliant.
You know, from work timings, etc. So, you know, that was an indulgence, but kind of, you know, kept me fit and could fit in with the timelines.
Yeah, fantastic.
But I think some other aspects are important as well. I mean, I got myself a mentor. You know, I joined some groups for kind of CEOs, kind of, you know, running businesses of similar sizes. And, you know, I kind of realized that quite a lot of businesses look like Grey's. You know, we're seeing it at the moment with COVID, you know, dramatic channel shifts to deal with, you know, uncertainty about the future. I kind of realized that I didn't have an extraordinary situation. You know, this was the reality, you know, for many businesses out there. They are caught and have to transform their organizations to kind of make their way in the world. And in some ways that, again, kind of made me, you know, comforted. Instead of pitying myself, I saw the challenge as kind of more normal, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's fantastic about specifically the food and drink. I can only talk for the food and drink industry myself, because it's the only industry I've worked in. But I think knowing that other businesses are going through that, especially in the last year, for me personally, has helped incredibly well with COVID coming in. And knowing that you can kind of wrap your arms around each other and that community feel is very much there. And that's majority of the reason why Mariana and I wanted to start this and start talking to people, so that we can wrap our arms around each other and know that community spirit, that doesn't matter whether your competitors in business or not, they are going to be going through exactly the same things that you are, potentially in a different timeline, but they will come at some point.
I think another aspect which I find helpful, found very helpful, is, you know, I had a chairman who was very sort of people and organization focused. And, you know, this is helpful both on the technical side, you know, in terms of having to change an organization quite significantly. And, you know, anyone I worked with, you know, with at Grey's, I'm sure had to live through some pretty kind of heavy work on the organization. But at the same time, you know, recognize that part of the role of a chairman was to support.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought he was hugely helpful. I think the other thing which was very useful is we had majority owners. So the Carlyle Group, we were a majority owner of Grey's. So really, we were both in it together. And I think making peace with your shareholders and being aligned rather than feeling like you need to fight them, you know, again, made a very big difference. I really felt that we wanted to sort the problem out and we were aligned on what the issues were. So no blaming of management, crazy postal prices, you know. What we need to do is understand, with all these talented people and assets we've got, how we bring them together for the, you know, to take the business forward.
Fantastic.
So yeah, again, how do you not have this conflict with your shareholders, you know, with your chairman? How do you get everyone pointing in the same direction? Because who wants to be having fights every month at a board meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree.
No, and I think that's really a valuable lesson to learn. Is there anything else that you wish you would have known at the time that would have helped you to navigate this? Feels like there's quite a few points there already, but anything specific that comes to mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, I became a better CEO. The mistake I made many mistakes, you know, in terms of style and learning and the things, but one of them was, you know, did I spend enough time with the management team, you know, giving them the full context and letting them work through it and hearing their views and, you know, letting them, once they have the context, think about the strategy? Probably not. You know, it felt like the house was burning down and we were all running around, and, you know, was happy to do a lot of that one-to-one with people in terms of their, you know, their particular challenges. And what I learned is that time invested in that alignment and in that understanding means that, again, you just feel all a bit more like one team who all understand each other, who are all aligned. And again, it's, you know, that just means that you're a little less isolated.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's incredibly key, and it's fascinating to hear this from someone of your caliber, and I hope our listeners gain something valuable from it. I think it's brilliant talking through it, and it's exactly why Mariana and I set this up. So thank you so much. I think It's been fantastic talking to you, and it's incredibly brave being able to openly speak about things that haven't gone quite right in times gone by. So I do thank you for that. That's exactly why we're here at Untold, is to discover some of the moments where things haven't gone good, and allow other founders and business leaders to keep going and pull together as a team and know that other people have gone through it and it's worth pushing on. And fantastic. There's a new project on the horizon.
That's right. I kind of thought about what I wanted to do next, but after not very long, I decided I want to go again. So
fantastic.
Back to the start. Let's take what I've learned both personally and in business. And the beauty of starting with a blank sheet of paper is I've picked something I'm just super passionate about personally. So
brilliant. I mean, that's so key.
So enjoyable at the moment.
It's fascinating those early days. I mean, I'm very much at the Savorists. We're a team of three, and we're still a very small business. And those moments where you start to see things work or things start to sort of roll on, and the excitement of that sort of decision making instantaneously rather than kind of sort of a slightly bigger process of projects is brilliant. And I think anybody going for it is very much shares that passion of sort of being on your own and being with a really small, close-knit team and really pushing things uphill. So no, it's great to hear. Well, thank you so much for coming on Untold, and really, really, really fantastic chat. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you both.
Join us every Friday to hear from incredible business leaders who've been brave enough to open up and share their stories.
Our aim is to get more people talking about their difficult moments in business. And if we can do our little bit to help the industry focus on founder and business leader mental health, then we'll be happy.